Good evening. It's good to be able to worship God with you this evening. We've had a good day. We've been blessed with some rain and blessed to be able to come back and worship God. And it's good for us to be here and sing together and pray and study God's Word together. Notice in the scripture reading this evening there, if you have your Bible still open to Romans chapter 12, notice that Paul uses the word acceptable two times. Notice in verse 1, he talks about acceptable to God. And then in verse 2, the acceptable will of God. I want to talk this evening about meeting God's approval, God's acceptance. We all like to be accepted of others. I think that would be one thing that we would all agree upon this evening in this room, that we all like to be accepted from other people. As we go through life, we see that in different areas of our life. When we have our children, they're just little toddlers, they'll go do something, and what do? They turn their head around to see what mom and dad is going to do. They want to see their expression. They want to see how mom and dad are going to react. And so the children, they want to be accepted by their parents. And they want to do things that make mom and dad happy. When you get a little bit older, get up in the teenage years and thereafter, you want to find someone that will accept you to date and maybe eventually marry. So we act in such a way to get that girlfriend or that boyfriend. And we want to be accepted by them and vice versa. We want to be acceptable to our boss. We want our boss to accept the work we're doing. We want our husband or wife to accept the way we're treating them. We all like to be accepted by other people. This evening, I want to talk about being accepted by God and the importance of being acceptable to God even in a world that may not accept us. And to do that, I want us to turn to a familiar Bible passage. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's talk this evening a little bit from 2 Timothy 2:15 about the man who is approved or accepted by God. Do you want other people's approval? Sure, we all do. We all want approval from someone else. What about the most important approval, and that is that God approves of us? That we're acceptable to God. We'll learn some lessons this evening on how we can walk out being approved of God. And when the judgment day comes, we know that we can be with Him in heaven because He approves of us. A lot of people in this world may not care about us one way or the other, but God approves of us. And how can we achieve that in our life? You know, it's interesting when you hear a lot of things today. You hear a lot about approval ratings. You'll see this at school, teacher approval ratings. You'll see this at work, employee approval ratings. You'll see this in politics. There'll be a particular individual who's in office, and here he comes, maybe midterm elections or halfway through. And what kind of approval rating does the president have, and the governor, and this and that? Approval ratings. We want to know if people like us or not. We want to know if other people approve of us. A lot of times you'll run across someone who says, you know, I'm okay with God and God is okay with me. And there may be some obvious, maybe immorality in their life or sin in their life, but they're okay with God and God's okay with them. Deep down inside, even we all want to be approved of God, even though we may not be living right. Sometimes you'll hear something like, God just wants me to be happy. And this might be someone living in an adulterous marriage or something like that. God just wants me to be happy. Deep down inside, we want God's approval. We want God to be okay with us. But how do we go about doing that? Some will give others the advice, as long as you feel good about yourself, go ahead and do such and such. That could be some of the worst advice you could ever give somebody. we need to feel the way God wants us to act in a given situation. But sometimes, as long as you feel good about yourself, we want to be approved. Even if it's our own self approving of ourselves, we want approval. This evening, we're going to learn how to get that in the right way and from the right person. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we're going to learn how to be approved of God. And that's all that matters. When Paul writes 2 Timothy, this is probably his last book that he writes toward the end of his life. And the theme of this book is written to encourage Timothy to proper conduct with the Word of God. As a minister, here's the proper conduct that you need to have with the Word of God. And so throughout the book, there is an emphasis on Timothy and the Word of God. For example, look at chapter 2 and verse 9. Paul talks about the Word of God is not bound. And then we're going to see this evening to handle aright the Word of truth. And chapter 4 and verse 2, he's to preach the Word. And so there's an emphasis on his relationship with the Word of God. And when we come to this section in chapter 2, we're going to find that Timothy is encouraged to shun man's words, man's opinions, what people think and feel, and make sure that he's following the Word of God and handling that Word of God accurately. And when we come to verse 15, we come to a very well-known passage that a lot of people know. If you have the older versions, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. We're familiar with that. A lot of times that Bible passage will come up with regard to studying the Bible because of the word study. Study to show yourselves approved. So we're very familiar with this Bible passage. And I want us to consider that each part of this verse is going to let us know as a Christian, and I don't believe that this is just for the minister, any Christian can have these qualities of verse 15 and we can be approved of God. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. We may not have high approval ratings out in the world and at work and other places, but we can lay our head down at night, rest assured that we're approved of God. Let's look at the text this evening and let's learn five characteristics of a Christian. And let's work this evening to make sure that we have these things in our life so that we can say, God approves of me. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'm acceptable to God. I'm not acceptable to everybody around me, but I'm acceptable to God. So what does Paul say here in 2 Timothy 2? Verse 15. Let's read it together. Your version, if you have the older ones, study or give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Notice in the text this evening, the first thing that Paul says here is, if you have the older version, study or be diligent. Who is the one who is approved of God? The one who is approved of God is the man or the woman who works at it. Paul says, give diligence. And then later in the verse, he talks about a worker or a workman. To be approved of God, brethren, this evening, it's going to take some work. You know, there are a lot of things in life that are easy to do, and with our phones and other things, certain kinds of things are becoming more and more easy to do, and just with a swipe of our finger, we accomplish a lot. With a swipe of your finger, you can move money from a savings account to a checking account with just a swipe of a finger or just a tap. It's amazing what the kind of power that we have to do things, especially with our devices. And those are great things. And I'm glad that we can swipe our finger. But not everything in life can be just swiped with the finger. Not everything in life is that easy. And so Paul says, give diligence. This word here means literally to hasten and exert yourself to do something, to endeavor, to give diligence, to work at it. Yes, being approved of God takes some work. Being a good, faithful Christian takes some work. I think there are a lot of things of being a Christian that maybe come easily, and there are a lot of joys and blessings, and it's not like we get up each day and we feel like we're walking around with a 100-pound ball and chain. I'm not suggesting that, but there are things to be a faithful Christian and to live right each day that take work. And Paul says, be diligent to be approved of God. The first thing I want us to consider this evening is that we'll go home approved if we'll work at it. And I'm glad that there are some things that are done conveniently with our remote controls and with our cell phones and other kinds of things. But then there are some things in life that take work. He's described here as a workman that needeth not be ashamed. The ergotes, we get ergonomics. If something is designed ergonomically, E-R-G, it's designed in such a way that it'll work really well. Ergo. It involves work. And it involves endeavor and diligence. And when we do that, we'll be approved of God. We have to get up and work at it. This word is used different places in the New Testament, and we're reminded of the work. You turn, for example, to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10, and Paul says that we are to remember the poor. And he said that he was earnest to do that. It's the same word here. We have to work to engage in good works, to visit someone, to check on someone, to take someone, to help someone. That takes some work. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul says, give diligence, the same word, to keep the unity of the Spirit, to be unified here at Warfield Boulevard. It takes some work. It might take studying together and reasoning together and speaking together and being unified and loving one another. It's easy for division to set in. The gossip and the backbiting and the division, that's easy. Any church can do that. It takes work, diligence, Ephesians 4:3, to keep the unity of the Spirit. Look at this in 2 Peter 1 in verse 5. Peter uses it when he talks about give diligence to add to your faith knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control patience and so forth. Give diligence. That takes work to grow. It doesn't take any work to be an immature Christian. That doesn't take any work at all. We can just be that without even trying. But to grow to salvation, he uses the word again in verse 10, to grow. I'm going to have to do some work, you see. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, the Hebrew writer uses it there to give diligence to enter into our heavenly rest. We're not going to accidentally bump into heaven. We're not going to accidentally end up in heaven one day and we weren't really trying. It's because we give diligence, Hebrews 4:11, to enter into that rest. And Peter uses it in 2 Peter 3 and verse 14 to give diligence that when Jesus comes again, he says, give diligence that you're found in peace, not having spot or blemish. Working hard to stay pure. And that's a challenge in the world today where much around us, music, TV, movies, many kinds of things are promoting all kinds of impure things. It takes diligence to work at being pure and not allowing those things to affect us. So I would say that God's approval is not accidental. It comes after working for it. The first thing that Paul says here is give diligence to be approved. And take whatever that work is that's necessary, take that load on because it is eternally rewarding. You know, I think everyone this evening, all of us would say, I want to be approved of God. We would covet that, but we have to work for it. Some are not willing to work for it. Let's work for it. Let's be diligent. I'm mindful of what Jesus said in a completely different context. The laborers are few. Let's be one of those laborers, that workman, that is approved of God. What is it that you have to do? What is it that I need to do to work more to meet God's approval. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Look at the second thing that the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The person who's approved of God, number two, is the person who's willing to present themselves, to examine themselves, to look at themselves. And that's hard to do sometimes. It's easier to look at the other person and judge them. It's easier to look at the other person and say, this is what they need to do in their life. But Paul says it's the person, number one, who's willing to work, and number two, who's willing to present himself, look at himself. He's working to present thyself approved unto God. Maybe there'll be time in life to help somebody else out. That person down the pew from you and help them to grow and get better. But right now, Paul is saying to Timothy, you work to present yourself approved unto God. There were things that Timothy needed to work on, you see. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. One thing that Paul wants Timothy to do is to make sure that he himself is right before he can help others. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Watch your own personal behavior and the things that come out of your mouth that you're teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and them that hear thee. But it begins with self. And that's difficult to do sometimes. We get up each morning, we look in a physical mirror. But we always need to be looking in the mirror of God's Word. And what do I need to do today? This person who is approved of God is not going to engage in some kind of hypocritical self-examination where we hold ourselves to a different standard than others. That's what Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. He said, you guys will go out here and you'll see a speck in somebody else's eye, but you won't see the log that is in your own eye. So when we're talking about self-examination, we need to be fair. And we need to honestly look at ourselves in light of God's Word. Some of the Jews were so bad, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 21, they would tell other people, don't steal, and they would steal. They would tell other people, don't commit adultery, and they would commit adultery. That's how hypocritical they had gotten in their religious, settled way. So it's not hypocritical examination. We're certainly not going to engage in that. We're going to use God's Word. That's the standard. Am I approved of God? What do I look like when I look in God's mirror? Turn with me to James chapter 1. And when I open up the pages of the Scripture and I honestly look into that mirror, it's going to show me who I am. And rather than trying to change God's Word, and we'll talk about that later, rather than trying to change the mirror, you know, sometimes I think we're kind of like, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? We look at the Bible, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? We want the mirror to tell us what we want to hear instead of telling us what we need to hear or what is the truth. So we look into God's Word like a mirror. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But he that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues, being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. A very familiar passage. But James likens looking into the perfect law with that illustration that he had just given in the previous verse. It's like looking into a mirror. That's the standard. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 that we're going to examine ourselves to see if we are what? In the faith. That's the body of Scripture. Examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. So we want to be approved of God. We're going to have to examine ourselves, but we're going to have to make sure we do that in a way that the examination is acrid. And it's not acrid if it's hypocritical self-examination. It's only acrid when we see ourselves in light of God's Word. What does it take to be approved of God? Well, look at the text again. Paul says to be diligent to present yourselves approved of God. The third quality that we need to have in our life this evening is that we're seeking God's approval. The man or the woman that is approved of God is the one who is approved of God. And this is where it gets a little tricky. I think sometimes we think we're approved of God when in fact the approval, as we're going to see in just a minute, is coming from self or from someone close to us that is okay with the way we're living. We're only approved of God when God tells us, and the only place that's going to happen is in the Scripture. It should go without saying, but it's a good reminder that if we want to be approved of God, we need to be approved of God. That's what Paul sought in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. Turn with me there. When he was preaching in Thessalonica, he didn't use words that impressed people, words of flattery and things like that. He didn't twist the truth or change the truth. It's easy for a man to stand up and preach in such a way that you could preach to thousands of people and everybody would be happy with it. I could literally speak in such a way where I could make thousands of people happy simultaneously. But it wouldn't necessarily be the truth of God's Word. Verse 5, he didn't want to use words of flattery at any time, nor a cloak of covetousness. What did he want to do? Verse 4. Even as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who proveth our hearts. In fact, the word approval and prove here are similar. We want to be tested by God and tried by God. That's all that matters. We're not speaking in such a way as to make friends and family happy. In verse 5, anybody can speak in such a way that flatters someone else, builds them up, and makes them feel good. And you can speak in such a way that has a cloak of covetousness, where you're trying to get something out of somebody else. You're trying to get some money out of them. You're trying to get some other advantage from them. A cloak of covetousness? No, he wasn't going to do that. He just simply wanted to be approved of God. And that's what we want. And the place where it begins is first being a Christian. Be baptized into Christ. Be a Christian. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 10, a lot of times there are places where Paul mentions a bunch of names. And I don't know about you, but just speaking for myself, sometimes it's tempting when I get to those portions of Paul's scripture where there's a bunch of names, you kind of are tempted just to skip over that. But these names mean something. And if our name were in Scripture, we would want to hear it. But this Apelles in verse 10, greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. He was a Christian. That's where it begins. Be baptized into Christ this evening. Be a faithful Christian. That's where God's approval starts. And then, as we go through life, we're going to make sure that when we're presented with the truth, we're going to side with truth. We're going to approve of the truth. We're going to disapprove of any error that's outside of the Word of God. There are passages of Scripture that talk about truth and error, and that there's a proving process in that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul talks about how that factions or divisions must come, that they that are approved may be manifest among you. When there are divisions, and he's talking about, unfortunately, in the church at Corinth, when there is a division in a local church, it will show who is on the side of truth and who is on the side of error. We have to make a distinction between things. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, we have to test and try. And Paul says, approve the things that are excellent. Literally, distinguish, make a judgment. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, where this would originally apply to things that involved miraculous prophesying, Paul says, prove all things. Look at this. Hold fast that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. This proving, this testing is going to involve deciding between truth and evil, good and evil. And we're always going to approve of God's ways. And that's our scripture reading. We want to be transformed with the renewing of our mind and not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can be acceptable to God. And then verse 2 tells us how. When we prove what is that good and acceptable will of God, we put it to the test and we apply it in our life. And that's what we want to have in our lives each day. The man approved of God, the woman approved of God, is approved of God. Not worrying about anything in this life. We're not going to approve of ourselves. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Anybody can approve of themselves and be fine. Anybody can do that. Do you remember the Pharisee who went into the temple to pray and he thought he was great and I'm glad like I'm not like the rest of men? He thought he was fine. He approved of himself. I'm glad like I'm not like all these other adulterers and publicans and extortioners and things like that. And here's all the good things that I do. If we approve of ourselves, we're obviously going to come out with flying colors. We're going to give ourselves a great A, an A plus. But that's not what Paul said. He said, approved of God. What does God say about me? That's what's important. When we approve of ourselves, that's subjectivism. That's what's inside of us. And we're always going to come out with flying colors. Or, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. What some people do is, they gain approval from themselves and those that are close to them. And obviously, you're going to come out well when you surround yourself by people that already approve of you. Your approval rating is going to be fine. But all you're doing is you're comparing yourself with yourself and with those who already like you. And you're still not approved of God. That's what some of Paul's opponents were doing in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. He said, we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves. Anybody can say how great they're doing. They commend themselves. But they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, look at what he says, are without understanding. Yeah, you'll come out with flying colors, but you don't have any understanding. That's not what's going to make you approved of God. So we're not going to engage in anything like that. Neither are we going to see if people around us and our friends and our associations and others around us that like us, see what they say about us. We're not going to do that either. The first is subjectivism. This one would be what I would call popularism, where you just surround yourself by people who pat you on the back and you pat them on the back and everybody's fine, but is God approving of us? And this was one of the problems that the Jews had. Turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 41. One of the problems with the Jews is when Jesus came and tried to teach them, sometimes he exposed some things that they were doing and they didn't like him. And so what they would do is they would just say, well, let's have a mutual gratification society. You pat me on the back, I'll pat you on the back. We'll both agree that Jesus is wrong, and we don't have to listen to what he says, because the group that we're in, we're fine with each other. We don't have to listen to this man. That's not the approval that Paul is talking about. Paul said approved of God, you see. Look at John 5 and verse 39. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourselves. And then verse 44, how can you believe who receive glory one of another, and the glory that cometh from the only God you seek not? They were just patting each other on the back. We're fine. And that's why they wouldn't come to Jesus. We're talking about being approved of God. That's what we want. That's what's going to count when the Lord comes again. He doesn't look on the outside, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. He looks on the heart. It's not a matter of being in the right crowd and in a group of people who like me, but what does the Lord say about my standing in His sight? And then, back in 2 Timothy 2:15, the man approved of God, Paul says, is the man who is not ashamed. Present thyself approved unto God, a workman, what? That needeth not be ashamed. The fourth thing that Paul says, and the characteristic that he wants to have in our life, to be approved of God, is when we get up each day, we are not ashamed to be a Christian. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Paul actually said on other occasions to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, this matter of, do not be ashamed of me. Do not be ashamed of the word. Do not be ashamed of me who is in a chain. Have the fortitude and the determination to stand up for what is right. It's the man or the woman who's not ashamed of God's word. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel this week. We're not going to be ashamed to say, I have obeyed it and I live by it each day. It's my law. I live by the law of Christ, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I don't live by the law of the world, the immoral world. I live by the law of Christ, and I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm not ashamed of Christ Himself. Mark 8, 38. I confess Jesus on a regular basis. Confession is not just something we do when we stand up right before we're baptized. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus was talking about there in Mark 8 that it's a lifelong, daily confessing that He is the Christ. At work and at school and other places where we stand up for what we believe. And we're not ashamed of other faithful Christians. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8. Are we ashamed of other Christians? Are we ashamed of preaching and teaching? Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel. And notice how that Paul commends Onesiphorus. He says, he was not ashamed of my chain. I'm not ashamed of what the elders stand for. I'm not ashamed of what the Bible class teachers teach. I'm not ashamed of what is preached in the pulpit. I'm not ashamed of what we believe and teach. Or are we? Do we find ourselves apologetic and excusing and, well, we really don't believe that, and I'm not sure I would say it that way, and those types of things? The man approved of God, if it's truth, is not going to be ashamed of any truth that is spoken. And we're not ashamed of suffering as a Christian. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul says, I am not ashamed. He's talking about suffering as a preacher, verse 11. For which cause I suffer, yet I am not ashamed. Not ashamed. Let him not be ashamed. 1 Peter 4, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. The man approved of God, the woman approved of God, holds their head high each day and is not ashamed to follow truth. And then last of all, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 15 that it's the person who works at it, the person who's willing to examine themselves, the person who's willing to be approved of God. They're not going to approve themselves or get in another little group that approves them, but God is my approval rating. I'm not ashamed. And then last of all, he says, rightly dividing or handling aright, your version might say, the word of truth. Last of all, Paul says, to be approved of God, it's the one who rightly divides the word of truth. When we open our Bible up, it's not willy-nilly and whatever might be thought or taught or said or believed and just anything that comes to our mind. We're going to see a word here that actually describes what a doctor would do in the first century. Let me ask you this. If you were to go to a surgeon today, would you be okay if he got you down on the table and he got his scalpel out and he was just willy-nilly all over your body? None of us would want that. Paul is about to use a word here that was used some in the first century to describe what a doctor would do. And it's the word to cut a straight line. That's the word translated rightly divide or handle aright. Ortho, which is straight. We have orthodontist, straighten the teeth. Orthopedics, hollow, straighten the feet. Ortho, to straighten something. This is to cut straight. And so when we use the Word of God to be approved of God, we've got to take that very seriously. And when we open it up and we're teaching it, whether it's the little children all the way up to adults, we very carefully teach that. Because lives are at stake. Eternal balances are at stake. That's why James will say in James chapter 3 and verse 1 that be careful about being a teacher, because of the greater judgment. And that weighs on me every week that I stand up and teach. Every week. But it should weigh on all of us. All of us to be approved of God. We must carefully interpret, read, and study, and interpret, and handle the Word of God. This may involve word study. What does the word mean? This may involve context. This may involve, if I'm saying something about a particular Bible doctrine over here, is it in accordance with what is said over here? It's got to match up with all of what the Scripture teaches. If I'm looking at something in the Old Testament or vice versa in the New Testament, is it matching up elsewhere with what the Word of God teaches? I have to be accurate and careful in what I say with the Word of God. And it's not just in a matter of teaching. As a parent at home, as a husband or wife, as anyone sharing the Word of God with anybody else, we have to carefully handle that in order to be approved of God. Look at all the religious division that we have in the world, and even all of the immoral and ethical division that we have in the world, because people say all kinds of things about the same Bible. They're all looking at the same Bible, but everybody's saying different things about it. We're not cutting a straight course in the Word of God. It's the person who studies. Have we really studied this topic that we're talking about? Have we seriously spent hours? Have we spent time and hours studying this? Or is it just something, a thought that's off the top of our head? I'm going to study it. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to teach it carefully and accurately. I'm not going to twist the Word of God. In order to be approved of God, I have to handle His Word carefully. Can you imagine giving your Word to your children, for example, and then they go out and twist your words? They say different things about your words. How would you feel about that? Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 that there are those who twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. Somebody says, well, it really doesn't matter if we say something different about the Word of God than we should. It's to our own destruction, brethren. Have we really taken time to study everything on that subject? Have we done the word studies? Have we done the context study, you see? That's a part of being approved of God. Let us all, each time we open up the Word of God, cut a straight course. This is Paul's way of saying that when you use God's Word, you're going to be straight and accurate with it, saying only what is intended to be said, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. And also, this is interesting, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. This word is actually, when the Greeks translated the Old Testament, they chose to use this word in a couple of places in Proverbs that I'd like to look at for our admonition. It's not just when we read and study and teach God's Word, but it's also just in our personal lives. Living each day, we need to walk a straight line. Did you ever have someone tell you in life you need to walk a straight line? Maybe a parent, a teacher, somebody else. Walk a straight line. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, what we think and what we feel. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will, orthotomeo, He will direct your paths. Make it straight. The same thing in chapter 11 and verse 5. We want to walk a straight line. And God will do that. But we have to use His Word properly. So as we come to the close, we all want approval. From the little toddlers on up, we want approval. This evening, let us have that approval that comes from God. The world may not care one way or the other, but we want to be pleasing to God. Our young people, when you're at school, school's coming up again shortly, Lord willing. Parents are happy about that. When you're out on a date, when you're with your friends, be approved of God. Act in such a way that God would approve of the way you're acting. When we need to be a neighbor and a citizen and an employee and anything that we have as a Christian each day, let's act in such a way that God approves of us. In the church and in the home, let us act in such a way that God approves of us. And we've learned this evening that we have to have these five qualities in our life to do that. Are you approved of God in all walks of your life? If the answer is no, then you have an opportunity to change that right now. I do too. We always have an opportunity to come back and be right with God if we need to. Being approved of God is all that matters. It's a bonus. It's a bonus when those around us, our family, our loved ones and brethren approve of us. But what Paul talks about is, what matters is being approved of God. Is it more work on your part or mine? Or maybe a closer self-examination? Maybe more of God's approval and less of what those around us might think or feel? Do we need to be less ashamed? Do we need to be a better student of the Word of God and cut a little bit straighter line than we've been cutting in the past? There have been a few times in my life where I've had to cut straighter, have you? I'll be the first to admit that. When I was younger, I said some things about the Word of God that I was corrected on by older, mature, and well-studied brethren. There's something to be said about that. And I had to learn to cut a little bit straighter. Because I want to be approved of God. That's all that matters. And let's have that in our life today. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. God will approve of you if you'll come and be baptized into Christ. The water's ready. Garments are ready. Or if you need to come back to the Lord in some way and you want to let us know about that, we can pray together. Don't worry about what somebody might think or feel. Just worry about what God wants you to do. Just worry about being approved of God. And those of you this evening that are living the faithful Christian life, let me encourage you to keep doing that. And let's take 2 Timothy 2:15 to heart, post it somewhere, look at it on a regular basis, and let's have these things in our life so that God will approve of us. If we can help you in some way in your conversion, in your coming to the Lord, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?